I've been doing a series every other Sunday night at church, except the last time I preached Sunday night. God led me in a different direction, but I've been preaching on Nehemiah. I've been studying Nehemiah. I want to share one of the messages with you that I've done with our people at my church. Been enjoying learning about Nehemiah. God laid it on my heart several months ago to study Nehemiah, and I'm still studying Nehemiah. A good book to look into. As I study and got prepared for it, Lord gave me a verse at the beginning of this. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope." I thought about that, and I was thinking about that scripture and praying when I was preparing for Nehemiah. I will be in Nehemiah chapter 1. That's where our main text is going to be. I'm going to talk about Nehemiah's prayer. If you read Nehemiah chapter 1, it's Nehemiah's prayer about Jerusalem and the condition it was in. So we'll be there eventually. But that's where we're going to end up being. But I want to look at another prayer here real fast before we get there. But let's pray over the scripture tonight, Lord. Lord, be with us tonight as I present the gospel to him, Lord. Give me the words you want to say, Lord. Be with this service tonight, Lord, and may someone get a blessing out of this prayer, Lord, of Nehemiah's. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. I pray in your name. Amen. We look in the model prayer. We look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 5 through 15. In verse 9. But it talks about the disciples, if you read the first part of it, it talks about wanting to know how to pray. If we look at the prayer itself, it says, "And after this manner pray," in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 6, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy hand and thy kingdom and thy power and the glory forever. Amen." Looking at that, the disciple was wanting a model prayer from Jesus to know how to pray. Nehemiah already knew how to pray. We look in Nehemiah chapter 1. Like I said, we're going to be in Nehemiah 1 this evening. I might refer to several different scriptures here. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, we take Nehemiah's prayer, and if we lay it beside the Lord's Prayer, Nehemiah hits the key points that's in the Lord's Prayer, in his prayer. And the reason I read Romans 15:4, it's for our learning. But the disciples had the Bible. They had the Bible. Did they overlook this? We get into our scripture, and we get reading the Bible. We overlook stuff. Wednesday night, I was preaching on things you can learn from a ship. And I overlooked one of the things you can learn from a ship, being sent out from a ship. The guy that was the man that was possessed with the demons was healed, and he got on the ship with Jesus. I didn't realize he got on the ship with Jesus until I got studying about the ships, different things we can learn from ships. And overlooked that Jesus sent him from the ship, because he was on the ship with Jesus, wanting to go with Jesus. But we knew he was going to go home and tell his people about it. So little things like that we overlook. And that's how everybody is. We're all human. Even the disciples are human if we look at it. They wanted a model prayer, but there is a model prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1 if we get over there and look. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it talks about the verse 1 through 4 talks he asks about the conditions of Jerusalem. He wanted to know about his people. How they were doing. The temple was built back in Ezra. He was curious. He thought, well, they're probably up. They're probably strong. They're probably doing great. But when he got the report, it broke his heart. In verse 4 it says, And it came to pass, when I've heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And he prayed. Not only did he pray once, he prayed over a 4-month period. If you look at Sisera in chapter 2, the first one of the verses says another month. But he prayed, I think it was 4 months when I figured it up. And we look at that and we think he prayed for Jerusalem, what God wanted done, because their walls were down. They were being made fun of. A city without walls back in the Bible was not a city. They were being ridiculed. They were being made fun of. That's how it was. We need to be like Nehemiah. We need to find out what's the matter with our lives and start building walls. But Nehemiah praised God for a will here. When we look at the prayer of Nehemiah in verse 5, it says, "And I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, which that keepeth the covenant and mercy of them that love him and observe his commandments." Nehemiah opens his prayer saying, "I beseech thee," which he's praying. He gives honor to God. He gives honor to God. Like it says, "Our Father which art in heaven." He gives honor to God. He feared God. This terrible God's not a word of he's not great. This terrible is let me find it here. I'm sorry. This terrible here, where did I mark this at? Was able to inflict the heaviest of judgments. This God was a just God. He knew God was a just God here. It wasn't being mean. He was being just. He could show judgment. We know God will show judgment on his people and on people that's against him. And so we look here. He was not that. He was a great God also. We look at God and we think we honor God. We need to honor God with prayer. When we go to prayer, we need to realize we're praying to someone superior more than we are. He's holy. He's just. Because he prays to a great God. And we look at this and we think about the things that Nehemiah is pointing out here. In verse 5, he's honoring God as it shows him to his disciples to honor God. And then we also look at the promises. He points out the God that keepeth the covenants and mercies of them that love him and observes his commandments. He knew there was a promise made to the children of Israel, to Abraham's seed, that God was going to protect them, God was going to see them grow. We see this also in Galatians 6:13. It says, "Now to Abraham and his seed that was promised made, that he shall not, and the seed as many, but as one, as the seed of which is in Christ." He made a promise that his seed would multiply. And we know the promises is there. God keeps his promises. And I'm thankful. He preached this morning on being prepared, being ready. Are we watching for Christ to come? Because he's promised he's coming again. And I'm looking forward for that coming. I've been studying on that for next Sunday too. I looked at Amy after church. I said, "Your dad's preaching what I'm working on." but we've been looking at stuff like this, and I've been studying stuff like that. But God has a promise, and he keeps his promises, and that's what Nehemiah was pointing out to God. You made a promise to your people. They're going to keep your commandments. They're making themselves right. And with this, in Deuteronomy 9, "Know thee therefore, the Lord thy God, he is faithful God, to keep his covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." He said that in Deuteronomy. So I can read several different verses here, but I'm trying to combine two outlines together into one message, so I won't read everything on this. So we can look at the prayer of Nehemiah. And we think about Nehemiah here. He's pointing out to God what he's already promised. You said you'd do this. God said he'd take care of our needs. He does. We shouldn't question if God's taking care of our needs. Nehemiah was pointing out to God that he made a promise. He made a covenant. In Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter these things that is gone out of my lips. We think about that. God has a true covenant with his people. We need to keep his word. We need to respect his word. We gotta be close to God in every step in our lives. Pray every day. Do a true prayer. Not just, I lay me down to sleep, or the Lord's Prayer that I just read. Because that's just an example. That's not a prayer we should quote every day like some other religions do. And we've got to realize God is there for us, no matter what we need, no matter what we're going through. He knows our problems. God puts us through things, but we got to realize we need to have a prayer life with God. Nehemiah had a prayer life. I'm studying the book of Nehemiah. Like I said, I'm working through it, studying it, and looking at it. Nehemiah prays several times in Nehemiah to God for incidents. Chapter 2, he prays to God also. The king asked him something. He didn't say a long, dread-out prayer, but he prayed God give him the words to say in chapter 2. And God gave him the words to say. We've got to be ready for that. But we keep on going down into verse 6. It says, Nehemiah, it says, let thine ear be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servants, which I pray before thee now night and day. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and thy confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We look here at, first of all, he wanted to make sure God heard him. Lend me an ear. You ever get accused of not listening to somebody? You don't listen to me. I told you this the other day. Amy accused me of this yesterday. I told you that the other day. You don't listen. We have to listen to people. And it's true. But Nehemiah wanted to make sure he had God's attention. Lend me your ear. Open your eyes. He wanted God. He's asking God to listen to him closely. We need to pray like that. We need to have prayer life like that. We hear people talk about people praying before. I listen to people talk about old time, how it was back then when people prayed. Their prayers meant something. It wasn't just a bunch of words. It don't have to be an hour prayer. It don't have to be a 5-minute prayer. It just has to be something genuine, sincerely. Nehemiah had something here sincerely he wanted God to hear. And we look, he does not just pray one time, as I just mentioned. He prayed over a 4-month period. Nehemiah prayed for the children also of Israel. He confesses the sins here also, the shame of sins. And we look here. I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my fathers, which have sinned. He didn't say my mistakes. I have sinned. We have to realize, before we can have a good prayer life for God, we have to get the sin out of our life. We have to confess our sins. God is able and just to forgive us of our sins. All we got to do is confess. We got to be willing to confess these sins no matter what. We can't hold on to them because that puts a damper in between our fellowship with God. Sin puts the barrier in between us. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us away from God. And to have a good prayer life, the first thing we ought to be doing is making sure God's listening, that you got a clean heart. He's confessing his sins. We have sinned. In verse 7 it says, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. He mentions what they did not keep. He mentions that, hey, I didn't keep your commandments. There's more than one commandment in the 10 commandments in the Bible. A lot of people says, there's what I got to live by. But the Lord gives a lot more throughout the Bible if you look. I know, and we look at stuff like that. And we, like I said, we've got to be cautious in our lives. If we're knowingly sinning, we need to make sure we get it right with God. There's things, about a year ago, the preacher was preaching something that was wrong. He's like, that's wrong. He had scripture and verse for it. God just pointed it out to me in church. He just made a little small comment about it. Nothing big. I don't even know if it really 100% tied into the service that day, but he made a comment. And God said, you need to get that right in your life. Little things, and I've said in church, it's just little things we overlook. We've got to make sure we confess. He confesses the sin of disobedience. Then he acknowledged the sins of the people. Israel has sinned. Not Nehemiah and his family. Nehemiah says, I've sinned. We got to realize sin is a barrier between us and God. It keeps us from good fellowship, good walk, good growing spiritually if we keep sin in our life. We got to put that sin away. We got to leave it somewhere. And that's at the cross of Jesus. We as people, Brother Gallagher, that's his name, right? Preached this morning about some clearing the path. We as people have the tendency to remember people that he said clear the path for people to come back. We have a tendency to remember that sin. Why did they leave? Now and then they leave because of sin. We've got to be open armed and say forgive and forget. We got to forget what they've done. We're practicing that in our church, and I thank God for that. I see some people coming back, and I pray God that they come back and come back faithful and strong to God. The last few weeks we've experienced a family coming back, and just got to forgive and forget and go on. And God has opened the doors. The people has been very receptive to it, and I thank God for that. We got to forgive and forget just as we're asking God to forgive us of our sins. The devil's going to point them back out to you later on. You've done this. But you know what? God's forgave you of them if you truly ask them to forgive you of your sins. He remembers them no more. We've got to be like that when it comes to people. We got to remember, if we confess our sins and they've confessed their sins, they got their heart right with God, what they've done in the past is gone. We've got to realize, we've got to put that behind us too. Our flesh likes to point out stuff. But Nehemiah confessed the sins. And we look here, we think about Nehemiah forgiving the sins. Because he did in Matthew 6:12, it says, forgive us of our debts. Forgive us of our sin. As we forgive our debtors, our sinners. He was ready to forgive. Just like Jesus was pointing out to his disciples, we got to ask forgiveness. We got to forgive people also. That's a hard thing to do, is forgive people. When people do you wrong, that's one thing that's hard to do. It's hard to forgive and forget. And we think about that. How many times has someone done you wrong? Or someone done you wrong and you keep holding your grudge? That's a sin. Forgive us of our debts and our debtors. We gotta make sure that sin is out of our life, as he did there. He wanted to make sure that God understood that he sinned. And then in verse 8 it says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if thy transgressions, I will scatter you abroad among nations. Verse 9 says, But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though through there were of you cast out othermost parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from thence and bring them into a place I have chosen and set my name there. So he's reminding him. Look, they're in Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple, but the walls are still down. They're still being made fun of. They're distressed. I can't even say the word. I'm sorry. Look, the walls are down. They're being made fun of. They're being mocked. They're not a true city. Back in the Bible, they had walls around their cities. And we think about his prayer here. Look, they have came back. They're wanting to make right. They're there. They're working. They're trying to make it through. He recalls the return from captivity. Your people has came out of captivity. They're back in Jerusalem, but they're not 100% protected. In Leviticus 26:14-15, but if thou wilt hearken unto me, and will do these things, I command it. Wherefore, if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your souls harbor my judgment, so will do not my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. And I will scatter you among the heathens, and draw the sword after you and your land, and it shall be a desolate, and your city a waste. And that's what people was looking at, the city being desolate and the city being a waste because the walls were tore down. Nehemiah realized there need to be something done with this city. The people are back. They're trying to rebuild. God made a promise. Promise to them and that if they would turn back, he would bring them back together. And in Deuteronomy 4:25-31, it says, when thou beggest the children and the children, ye shall have remained a long time in the land and shall corrupt yourself and And when thou have begged thy children, and ye shall have remained in the land and shall corrupt thyself and make a graven image and the likeness of anything, it shall do evil unto the sight of the Lord thy God, and provoked him to anger. And I called to heaven and the witness against the day, and he shall soon utterly perish off the land. Wherefore, go over the Jordan and possess, and not prolong for the days that are upon, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter them among nations, and they shall be left in a few numbers among the heathen, wherein God shall lead them. And there ye shall serve their gods and work of the man's hand, wood and stones, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, and he shall, if thou seek him, he him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Where thou art tribulations, and there these things shall come unto thee, even the latter days, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God, and ye shall be obedient to the voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sweared unto them. God is a merciful God. But we got to be willing to seek God with our whole heart, as he showed there. We got to be willing to seek God's presence. We got to be willing to serve God, seek God, serve only him, nobody else. He knew back here in Deuteronomy they were going to be scattered. All they had to do is get right with God. And there's several verses like that going through. God has kept his word with his people. The people has been unfaithful. He's surely scattered them abroad, and we've seen that. Now Nehemiah urges God to keep his second part of the commandment to return his people and bless the land again. It's always good to get blessings from God. Nehemiah reminded him that what he has done here. In verse 10, it says, now these things are thy servant and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by great power and by a strong hand. And the Lord, I beseech thee, now let thine ear be attentive to thy prayer of thy servant, a prayer of the servant who desires to fear the name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant the day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. We look here at Nehemiah. He sought God for help. He sought God for help on what to do. If you read Nehemiah chapter 2, he goes into the king as a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer. He had an important job. He had an important job, but he had a desire to see Jerusalem done. He had an important job of the king. A cupbearer would taste the drinks before the king. He would oversee all the work that was going around when it was being served to the king to make sure the king wasn't poisoned or something wasn't done. Nehemiah's life was on the line, especially if he tasted it and it was poisoned. He had a high place in the service of a king. He's just a cupbearer seeking what God wants done. We look here. We look and we think about this prayer. Nehemiah was praying that God would do something for his people. During the time he's prayed, if you look, he had answers ready in chapter 2. He had answers ready to give the king, preparations that he needed. He knew what he needed to have to go build the walls in Jerusalem. He prayed, he prepared, because he knew he had to have preparation along with this prayer. God was doing a work in his life. We look here at this last verse, "For I was, not I am." He knew sometime during his prayer time, God was going to send him to go build them walls. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for each and every one of us to do something in his will. What does God have for you to do? What's keeping you from doing God's will in your life? We're all from different areas of life. We all do different things. I pointed out in our church, I know pretty much what everybody does in our church. I pointed out our pharmacist. I pointed out our mechanic. I pointed out our guy that works with techno building boxes for a company that controls equipment for Toyota and stuff like that, that operates their machines. He's into that type of wiring and all that. And different things, and pointed out different things. God has put a church together. I'm not sure what everybody does here for a living, or what you have done for a living, but God has brought a bunch of people together for a purpose. What is your purpose here at Great Baptist Church? Brother Richardson is the pastor. He oversees what goes on in the church here, don't he? But we all have a part. We all have a part. He's not to carry the whole load. So some people in church think the preacher's there to carry the whole load. He's not there to carry the whole load. He's there to guide, protect us, tell us what to do. Point out our sins, as Brother Gallagher showed this morning in Sunday school. We're not going to like everything he says. When it comes to a preacher, we're not gonna lie, because he's saying what God said. We listen in church and we pay attention. God starts preaching. If he's stepping on your toes, that's not good enough. He needs to aim for the heart. Once it starts penetrating your heart, you know something needs to be done. Most preachers would say, "I'm aiming for that heart. If God wants me to, I'm not aiming for the toes." People says, "The preacher stepped on my toes this morning." Well, that aim was a little off. It should have been your heart. He's been working with God's wanting you to hit. We got to make sure we have a good prayer life. Nehemiah had a good prayer life. Throughout Nehemiah, he's building a wall. He's putting a wall around Jerusalem. We need to put a wall around our life. We got to keep sin out. But to get sin out, we first got to confess our sins. We got to remember what God said he would do for us. What has God told you to do for him? Are you doing that today? Do you have a prayer life? Brother Richard.